Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, fresh off the love train, welcoming you to the second hour of our Happy Easter edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link in the upper right-hand corner. That will click you through the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you will be set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Check out all the great stories and videos and pictures and so forth. Unfortunately, you won't get to see the great picture that I'm seeing right now, that Walter gets to see right now, because Nathan's fooling around the studio. And, you know, he knows how to do all this stuff. So he has now turned himself into the Easter Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
He's got ears and he's got a bunny nose and whiskers and, you know, what do you call whatever those things are called?
A video filter?
Yeah, filters. He's a bunny rabbit now. So if you know, hear Walter and I cracking up, it's because Nathan is fooling around in the studio and being silly. And you've got great Easter music going.
Can I say, Martha, that I think it's such a great loss right now that your show is on radio and not television?
I think that's true.
I wonder if Nathan would have the nerve. I think he would.
I think he would, too.
Yeah.
And now, Walter, what we get to enjoy when we love train here, because Nathan is he's the technical guy. He mans the lights and then he uses the TV screens to do big laser shows and stuff. And so while we're dancing and love training, we're getting a huge light show from the master technician in the studio, Nathan.
It really is our own dance party.
We do have a huge dance party. I mean, we have the best time, Walter, when we're actually in the studio and have, you know, guests are in the studio. Like last week, when Dr. Nels Rasmussen and Linda Rasmussen were all in the studio together, and Stacy, the call screener's in. So we literally have a dance party.
Yes.
But it's really good. And then, of course, we got our listeners writing in and so forth. And Diana's let us know that she checked it out with her chiropractor, and her chiropractor said, it's the best prescription in the world. You know, you dance at home and it's great exercise and a really mm-hmm. good way to exercise with yeah. us all being locked, you know, having been locked down and not being out there and exercising as much. And so it's paying off. You know, and I can actually dance through the love train now and be able to talk afterwards. So my stamina is going up. Anyhow, so we'll do it again at 11 o'clock. Alrighty. So it is another teaching show with me and Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, is my guest. And we're doing a series of shows where I'm attempting to share with you how I work with my clients and share with you everything I know about addressing behavior, issues and problems with dogs. And I'm structuring, I do one long session with my clients and then give them free phone follow-up privileges after I'm done seeing them. And so a session when I spend with a client would take anywhere from 3 to 6 hours. Average and normal is 4 to 5.5. So, you know, there's a lot of information and a lot of stuff we do during that period of time. We've been through, because you can go back in our archives, the radio archives, through the Animal World website, which is MarthaNorwalk.com, and you could listen to our previous shows. We covered the general dog stuff. We've covered all the food and how food affects behavior and your lessons on how to read labels and all of that. We went through all the physical health and well-being, a lot of the supplements and treatments and things that I use. And we sidelined the what I believe is the major underlying cause of Lance's volatile aggressive behavior, which is the Pleckner syndrome stuff. We've done lots of shows on that before, and we'll cover that separately with Walter after we've done everything else. because, you know, like I said, it's we've covered a lot on the show. So my regular listeners are more familiar with that. And at any rate, so we have left to do the human to animal transference in the general department, and then all aspects of communicating with dogs. And then we're headed to all of that stuff now. So, and if you want to get a hold of Walter, you do that through your website, right, Walter? It's walterstoffelauthor.com. Is that the correct website address?
That is correct.
And if anyone hasn't read your wonderful book and heard the story about Lance and you rescuing him and the what makes it so amazing that you're still alive and well, you can get a book through your website, Walter. Is that the way to, and you get an autographed copy that way? Isn't that the case, or am I mistaken?
Well, it depends. If they purchase directly from me, yes, and they get a custom Lance bookmark.
Uh-huh.
But now if they go through that beast that starts with a capital A and ends with an N.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. They get the book. They just won't get the, I can't dedicate it and I can't give them a bookmark. So
if you'd like a dedicated book and a special Lance bookmark, then you go through.
We can do that.
You go to walterstoffelauthor.com, and it's Walter, W-A-L-T-E-R, just like it sounds. Stoffel is S-T-O-F-F-E-L, walterstoffelauthor.com. Because you definitely want to be on board.
Can I put in one more pitch?
Of course.
I do have an audiobook version of this book.
Oh, it your microphone.
There we go. You have an audiobook version of Lance's story.
Oh, do you? Is that available through your website as well?
That is available only through me.
Only through you. Okay.
Only through me. But it's several different distributors. So if anybody's interested in that, just contact me and I'll put them in touch with the proper people.
All right.
I did the recording, so it's kind of a personal kind of thing.
All right. So at this point, what we have been doing is starting these shows with a couple of behavior questions from Lance's follower, or from Lance and Walter's followers. We started with a question from Jeanette. In the last hour, we ended with, why don't you read that question again, Walter, before I talk about it again?
Okay, Jeanette writes, he is a pit bull mix, no health issues. He just seems depressed. I got him from the shelter about 3 years ago. We did have a female mix, but she passed away, and I'm wondering if he is just lonely. I can only have one dog where I live currently. The pit bull mix is about 8 years old.
Okay. Now, again, my subject for today, the general subjects would be to cover briefly because what I call the human to animal transference. And just so you know, I do sometimes teach classes on these subjects, and I teach a whole class and what I call the human to animal transference. And when I do that class, it's like a 3-hour class. Okay. So there's a lot that can be concluded in this subject. We don't have time to do that. And when I do a private counseling session with people, I don't always even mention this aspect of what might be influencing the dog, unless I suspect there's an issue. I'll tell you that with cats, they are so empathetic, and they absorb and reflect and take on their owner's stuff dramatically that rarely do we really solve serious behavior problems in cats without addressing the human to animal transference and what they're reflecting as part of their owners. But dogs, I don't find that that's as necessary. But this particular question from Jeanette is one of the times when we often see the human to animal transference going on. So I'm going to answer Jeanette's question assuming that that's the case, and cover the bases on the human to animal transference at the same time. So basically what I mean by the human to animal transference, I mean that when our animals have problems, it isn't just the animals. Emotionally and intuitively, they're very sensitive. So they pick up, process, and reflect back our belief systems, our behaviors, our characteristics, and particularly our suppressed negative emotional energy. Now, so basically what that means is that our animals will often express for us what we stuff and suppress. So a classic example would be, we have a dog owner, lives in a house, and hates his neighbor. And is really mad at the neighbor for some reason, but they kind of stuff and suppress that feeling and pretend everything's wonderful and hi, neighbor, but inside they're really mad. Well, that could, if we had a dog that barked like a banshee at the neighbor all the time and tried to bite the neighbor, well, I would have to help the owner work through their feelings of hate, suppressed hate for the neighbor, before we could probably reasonably resolve the problem with the dog. And generally, if the animal is processing and reflecting something that's going on with the owner, if you balance to stabilize it or eliminate it with the human, it goes away in the animal. So many times our dogs or our cat friends can be like kind of little rudders and guides for us to let us know if there's something going on or not. And I'm moving cords to, there we go. Now, so in Jeanette's case, the reason I'm thinking this may be a human to animal transference situation is because she mentioned the fact that they had a dog previously when they got this male pit mix, and that dog had passed. And so she said, I'm wondering if he's lonely from the passing of that other dog. And then she mentions that she can't get another dog. Now, most, even though dogs are pack animals and live with a pack and a family of dogs in their own world, once dogs move in with humans, they usually like being only dogs. And if you want to bring another dog into your household, most of the time you have to work at making your original dog feel good about that. Because most of the time their attitude is, what are you thinking? I don't want any competition. I want you all to myself. Okay. Now, when we get back to Jeanette, let's assume that the problem was they got this pit mix, moved in with them 3 years ago, and the pit mix bonded with the other dog, and then that dog passed away. And after that, the pit mix has seemed somewhat depressed. All right, so we might then try to really help this dog a lot, which is not a bad thing, but that may not be where the problem is stemming. And so I'm going to tell you one other quick story that illustrates this. I've been doing this radio show for like ever, I'm at least 28 years. And when my parents were alive, and I was doing the show in the Seattle area where they lived, after I did the show on Sunday, I would go by their house and visit them. And one of those times they said, we have to ask you about, we need some help for a friend, for someone we know. And they belong to a country club in the area. And they said, one of the ladies at the country club, and that she was quite old, and apparently had been married, to the same man for like, 50, 60, 70 years. And the husband had passed away. They had a dog. I think it was a Springer Spaniel. And my parents said, we need to know what to do, because since the husband passed away, the dog is really depressed and he doesn't want to eat and he won't go anywhere and all that. And the dog is really depressed. And so we need to know how to help the dog. Well, when they told me that, what I told them is, I don't think it's the dog. Okay. What's going on? Think about this. If you're a woman in your 70s or 80s, wherever she was, and you have been with the same man your entire life, adult life, and your whole world's based in this relationship. What happens that the husband dies? Well, she's of the generation that you don't air your dirty laundry in public and you don't talk about these things. So very likely the widow is not talking about how depressed she is. And so what I told them is that what they have to do is understand that the problem is really the widow. She's the one that's depressed. She's the one that needs the help to be uplifted by her friends. And the dog will be like the rudder or the one that lets you know when you help the widow to the point where she's able to start to move through this and get back into life. The dog will improve. And sure enough, that turned out to be exactly the case. It wasn't the dog, it was the woman. And when they all focused on the woman instead of the dog, then everything was worked out. So I think, Walter, that this may very well be a similar case that where I would go with this is say, Jeanette, have you fully grieved the loss of that dog? That passed, because chances are, you know, no one, he teaches us how to move through grief, how to process it. You can't stuff and suppress it and not deal with it. We are here to learn to be better at dealing with our emotional energies, and we need to practice and work at that. So I would target Jeanette on this level and say, find out how she's doing, how she feels about the dog passing. Chances are, if we get her to, you know, sit down and have a good cry with her dog and commiserate about losing that dog, and if we can move the grief out of her system, she will probably see an awakening and the dog coming back to a much more balanced state. I don't think she needs to worry about getting another dog and all of that. I think she needs to focus on herself. Does that make sense, Walter?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Okay. All right. So let's, we have to stay on schedule here. So let's take care of advertisers. Then we'll come back. And Walter, why don't you read me read the next questions and see if there's some things we can do real quickly before we launch into all the communication stuff. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's ANANDAWashington.org.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Find out the latest about your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150. Check out 1150kknw.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are about midway through the second hour of our Easter edition of Animal World. We're here until noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from the wonderful Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. They got all kinds of great events and classes going on, and all are hybrid these days. You can do it in person or you can do it online. So however you choose, check all the events out at AnandaWashington.org. And if you want to know what's going on up at the farm on Kameno Island, AnandaFarms.com. AnandaFarms.com. And it's AnandaWashington.org. Okay. So let's see. We also heard from our wonderful Jude Ponton, our great premier sound healer in the area. And she's available a couple days a week now in the office, and she can work with you in person at the Whispering Dragon Center, which is absolutely phenomenal. And you really ought to give it a try. And or she can work remotely with you. So check her out, whispering-dragon.com, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or give her a call, 206-706-2836. And of course, you can use the Acutonics on your animal friends. And I have forks, and I use it use them on me and my animal friends. They've even Jude has a book, Acutonics for Cats and Dogs. Okay, so you can learn how to do it on your animals. So 206-706-2836. All righty. Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, is my guest. We're cruising quickly through some questions with him. I am thinking we may not have be able to answer a lot of the rest of these questions and get the general information education I want to get done. But let's read through the three questions that you have in case there's something I can do quickly. So what's the first one, Walter?
The first one is, my two-year-old border collie chases after cats. Most dogs do, but my dog goes completely crazy if she sees or smells a cat. And Martha, I had emailed her back and said, and what happens if you call for your dog? And Liz wrote back, returns to me when the cat has escaped and is sitting high up in a tree.
Yeah. Okay. So do we have a name for that person?
Her name is Liz.
Liz. Okay. All right, so I've got that one. And what's the next one? Who's the next one from?
All right. Well, now the next one is a very detailed one, Martha. Very detailed. But I'll read through it until you tell me to stop reading. It's just
okay.
My border collie Rocky was a rescue. He was around 9 to 12 months old when we adopted him from the Northern California Border Collie Rescue. He came with several bad and nervous habits. He will be 9 in May. We have overcome many obstacles, but he still has a few that are holding fast. He's a real hands-on kind of dog, she said, or paws-on kind of dog. He uses his paws to get our attention for everything. When laying next to me on the bed, he constantly paws and scratches if I stop with the pets and scratches.
Right. Okay. Next problem.
I frequently make him get off the bed because he won't stop. He then sits on the floor and sits up in a begging position and paws my arm, wanting to come back on the bed.
Yeah.
Usually I tell him to go lay down, which he does, but this is a repeated habit all the time that I can't break. The other thing is he won't let anyone cut his toenails.
Okay.
He had for the longest time a red rash that would flare up. Doctors scratched their heads trying to solve the problem. I found that a mixture of apple cider vinegar with water diluted with water worked, but he won't let anyone near him to cut his nails.
Okay. And is there, and so let's go on to the next problem in that email.
I'm almost thinking we should two-part this question because there's the
I want to see what the other ones are there, are the questions.
Okay, he also made, he made a game of playing with his feet. When I first got him, we had two attendants and the vet try. So I guess this all has to do with keep your mitts off my toenails is what I think.
Okay, yeah, so we got the nails. Is there any other problem that she's mentioning?
He chews his nails and incisively likes his feet. He is treat motivated, but not with his feet. No amount of snack can trick him into training to allow.
Yeah, no, let's go on. Any other, so any other issues besides the feet?
That's it for that one. That was sent by Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn, okay. All right, and you've got one more?
Yes. And that is somebody with a, I guess it's called a shy poo.
Shy poo.
I'm guessing
sure
a Shih Tzu poodle mix.
Oh, okay.
He's 7 months old. His name is Benny. He's smart. I had him housebroken in 2 weeks, but he has bad separation anxiety, and I can't leave the house unless I take him with me because he literally barks and cries the whole time I'm gone. I live in an apartment, and he really bothers the neighbors. I don't know what to do.
Okay. What's that person's name?
That's Kathy.
Okay. All right. So the whole separation, you know, anxiety or separation issues, that's something we'll have to cover as a specific topic when we get to specific things. No quick answer for that. Let's see, Liz with the border collie that chases cats, that, I mean, you could, to start, you could try a quick thing, just like we did with the husband in the bedroom. You could try a behavior modification thing in that, you know, a real high value food reward. And whenever the cat becomes, or the dog becomes aware of a cat, then oh boy, hot dog or whatever the high value treat is. I'm suspecting that the dog is probably reacts too quickly and is too volatile, that making a positive association might not be the way to go. So it's simply going to be that Liz will have to learn the four-step correctional teaching sequence, and she'll have to teach this dog a solid leave it when it comes to cats. And step one would be to stop the chasing of cats. Then step two would be to change the way the dog feels about cats. So we will get to that. Those tools will come through when we get to the teaching and the training. Now, then we get to Gwendolyn with the bad habits of the pawing for attention. That's a very common problem, happens all the time. The answers for that will also come out when we get to the specifics. And conditioning dogs for nail trimming, just know that there aren't any dogs at all that love to have their nails trimmed. Okay. Now, nervous system wise, when you do something to dogs' feet, you trigger an automatic retract response. Head or body triggers a bite response. But that's why when you start to mess with feet, you know, dogs want to pull them away. Sometimes we take advantage of that in teaching things, but getting dogs comfortable with nail trimming is something that should start when they're babies. When they're older and it's an issue, again, that's something else there's not a quick answer for. It's a conditioning process you need to go through. And sometimes it's just not worth it for people to deal with. So you let the groomer do it or you take them to the vet. But again, that's something we'll have to deal with on a specific level when we get to that step in our in the teaching shows. I think also, you know, talked about the separation anxiety is something that we will need to chat about. So I think that's the best we can do with the behavior questions today on these. And you want to keep those in your pile, Walter, because once we get done with the general areas of education here, then we're going to come back to actually, you know, and once you know how to teach and this appropriate sequences and know about training tools and all that sort of stuff, then we will start knocking it off all of these problems. So that's going to have to be good enough for today on these questions. Okay. All righty. I'm thinking, Nathan, we're close enough to doing ads that why don't we do that, get that out of the way, and then I'll have a big stretch of time that we can just talk communication until the top of the hour. So stay right where you are, everybody. As soon as we continue, we're going to get into Communicating with Dogs 101, everything you need to know straight ahead. Well, not everything, but as much as I can get in here. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Talk radio with a purpose. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are heading through the second hour of our Easter edition of Animal World. We're here until noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful NuPro Supplements again, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. And if you got any problems with your dog's skin and hair coat, NuPro Supplements is absolutely phenomenal. It produces the best coats, and they've got great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets, and you can check them out at NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O.com. And we heard from Dr. Nels Rasmussen and his Healing Ministry for Animals, and he's got the Do-It-Yourself Rasmussen Reset Program available. He can work with you remotely or in person, and he does house calls, and of course, he's here the second Sunday of every month. So check him out, healingministryforanimals.com. And then, of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet. planet we live on, we'd love you to join our Animal World family of advertisers. We've got great rates. You get links on the website, interview on the show. So all you got to do is contact us. We'd love to make you part of our family. So you can shoot me an email at animalworldlive@hotmail.com, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or just give me a call, 360-217-7258. All righty then. We're here. Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, is here. We've gone through a bunch of behavior and training questions, answered what I could quickly, and then let you know what else. All of these will be addressed as we get through specifics. So anyway, we've got to cover the last general area of education before we can get to all that specific stuff, and that's the world of communication. Now, we all know that, and again, I'm not going to give you everything I would. I teach a whole class on communicating with animals. And again, if I do that class, it's a 3-hour class. Okay. So, and there's never enough time to do everything, even with that amount of time. So I'm going to give you kind of the basic information on communication that I would give to every client that I do. When I do a private session, this is what I include in that. So it's not everything, but it's the most important stuff for practically using it in the way that we need to. And that know that we, when it comes to communicating with animals and dogs specifically, this pretty much kind of applies to everybody, but we're talking dogs specifically, of course. At any rate, we know that dogs communicate in at least two ways: physical body language and vocal tonalities. Now, this is very true. They always have. They probably always will. But there's some other forms of communication that we humans aren't as familiar with. And I'll just tell you as a sidebar, I did not understand these forms of communication until I had been training specifically for several decades. I think the other forms of communication really started to come into perspective for me in the 80s and 90s. Now, it wasn't, I know I've always been able to kind of talk to dogs or talk to animals and know what they were thinking and all of that, but I just always kind of thought everybody did. And it wasn't until animal communicators started surfacing and so forth that this stuff became more viable and I could really start working with it and realize that it is very true and very usable. And kind of what I do with this kind of information, my job, I've felt, is to distill it down to a practical, logical way that we can actually use it to solve problems. So yes, dogs communicate physically with body language, vocally with vocal tonalities, always have, probably always will. But there's some other forms of communication that we humans aren't as experienced or knowledgeable in. And that is that when you think a thought or you express a thought, there's a picture in your mind. The animals get the pictures in your mind and they feel what you're feeling emotionally and physically. Now, you need to know it is not something weird or do-do-do-do kind of stuff. It is very simple and basic. We all have the ability to communicate on these levels. It's just most humans haven't been taught or practiced. And the good news is that anybody can communicate on these levels. It doesn't require any special skills or training, and it happens whether you believe it or understand it or not. Now, the bad news is exactly the same thing, because anybody can do it and it happens whether you believe it or understand it or not. So because of that, there are some related concepts and glitches with this communication that when you don't understand them, tend to make it work against you. So I'm going to take you through these aspects, all of all the communications, so that you have a good working understanding of all of this, and especially the telepathic and empathetic communication, because understanding that can, A, keep you from working against yourself when you're communicating with your dog friends, but also can speed up the process tremendously. Now, of all the domestic animals we live with, the most emotionally and intuitively sensitive are actually cats and horses. Okay. Doesn't mean dogs aren't. They can be sensitive too. Some dogs are more sensitive and more skilled in this area than others. Now, I will also tell you that when it comes to understanding human language, cats and horses are the best at that too. I mean, go figure. I can't always tell you why. I can just tell you what my experience has taught me. Dogs usually need to learn the word associations. All right. Now, of all the dogs we live with, the most emotionally and intuitively sensitive are all the herding breeds. And of course, that includes our wonderful border collies. They're like the top end of, you know, the herding breeds and the intelligence, and they are the Einsteins in the left brain as well as the right brain world. So they really are the smartest dogs. And I'll tell you I think I told you this early on, when it comes to working with dogs, the dogs that cause all the problems are the Einsteins and the Dumbos. You know, the middle of the roaders, not real smart, not real dumb. Those are the easier dogs to live with. Well, the border collies like Lance and the herding breeds are in the Einstein department for left and right brain thinking. And so understanding that is kind of critical to communicating well with them and to resolving a lot of problems. So the first major concept that I absolutely believe without question is that, and you regulars, you know, if you've been around listening for a while, you've heard me say this before, absolutely believe that thought directs energy, energy follows thought, and thought magnifies and intensifies energy. So the books on the power of positive thinking and stuff haven't been written for no good reason. So it's real important, especially when you want to solve problems or change things with your dog, you cannot form or hold on, excuse me, to any negative absolute beliefs about your dog, or you'll block us mentally from being able to change things. For example, if, say, Jeanette spends her mental energy worrying about that pit mix. Oh, he's depressed. He misses the other dog. Oh, he's living a miserable life. I don't know what to do. You know, and the more energy she puts into worrying about the dog being depressed, the worse she's going to make it for that dog. Okay. Let's see, who is our cat chaser, but if that owner thinks of their dog and that this dog absolutely chases cats, goes nuts whenever she sees them, and thinks of it as, this is really, I'm never going to be able to control this. As long as that's what she thinks about and believes, she's feeding it and making it worse. So everybody needs to remember, There's real good reason for thinking positively and not worrying and giving all the negative stuff your attention. It's very important to remember that it's important to think positive. All right. Now, along this line, it's real important to be aware of your sense of humor. Because some people will nickname or tease dogs about behavior that they don't like. Like Walter, if say maybe your dog starts peeing all over the house, we might start calling him the hose. Or maybe they get, you know, they're aggressive like Lance. We call them, you know, Killer or Jekyll Hyde. We might call them Digger or Chewy, you know, like I said, our Killer. But anyway, those names, and when we nickname our dogs those things or we call them those things, there's energy attached to those names because of the way we define them. So it can have subtle influences on their behavior. So do not do that. Don't be labeling your dogs and using nicknames that describe behavior you don't want, because you're actually encouraging it to happen. Now, it's important that you not spend a lot of time telling bad stories about your dog. You know, talking to family, friends, coworkers, and it might be something like, oh God, I love dogs. And I really had to have a dog and I rescued a dog and I thought we'd live happily ever after. But geez, now the dog's jumping all over me and everybody else and barking like a banshee. Dog's got separation issues. I can't even leave and go anywhere. I don't know what to do. And now I got to hire a dog shrink and yada, yada, yada. So every time you're telling those stories, you're giving it your mental energy, so you're helping it to continue to happen. So the lesson here is try not to spend your time putting your negative, you know, mental energy into supporting all the negative stuff. Try to focus on the positive stuff. Now then, I want you to be aware of how you answer people if they ask you about your dog. When you start working on things, they might say, well, you know, how is Bozo doing these days? Well, if you say something like, oh God, he's just so out of control and I don't know if I'll ever be successful. Well, that's what you put out there. But if you say something like, well, I've got a lot of work to do with him, but I'm doing my homework and I've got a good coach now. I know what I'm doing. He's not perfect yet, but we're working on it. Or he's not 100% yet, but we're working on it. When you say that phrase that way, he's not perfect yet, energetically, that leaves the situation open for success. So it's a much better way to phrase things. And that's why I say, when I take a holistic approach, I cover all the bases, everything I've learned that affects dogs' behavior. Well, positive thinking makes a huge difference. Positive and negative thinking will really affect their behavior. So with my clients, I always say the first homework you have is to start consciously changing what you believe to be true and what you expect from your dog. So this is like doing mental affirmations. When you think about your dog, you're talking to your dog or about your dog, you want to train yourself to think and speak in terms of what you want as opposed to what you don't want. Example being thinking like, you know, my dog respects my leadership, always looks to me for direction, ignores cats and comes when she's called, knows that when she sees a cat, she gets a special treat. And then she's learning that cats are friends and she's, you know, less and less interested all the time. So see, that train of thought and thinking would actually help that behavior rather than make it worse. All right, Nathan, you want to interject something
and
here?
And you probably wouldn't want to just cut to the chase and say, oh, my dog's a great dog, very kind, and stuff like that, because your dog is thinking that its behavior that it's currently exhibiting is good behavior because you're saying your dog is a good dog.
Well, that would depend on the circumstances that you're saying those things. Mm-hmm.
But like, let's say you have a dog with issues, but you're just saying, oh, my dog's a good dog. And you're not acknowledging
those issues.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with saying my dog's a good dog. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a good thing to say.
But the energy, though, if you're doing that, won't be as strong as acknowledging the problem and saying you're working towards a resolution.
Well, part of the problem is how, what do we define as a good dog? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the dog might be racing around and causing all kinds of problems, but it's normal dog behavior. So it doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Anyway, so a lot of it can be mm-hmm. semantics and all of that. So I wouldn't be too concerned about all of that, but rather than, you know, it would be better to focus on, my dog is respecting my leadership more and more every day, looks to me for direction, always comes when they're called, walks nicely on the leash without pulling. So if you think about those things and say it in that regard, that addresses the energy better. It's just, you just got to remember the basic premise. Thought directs energy. Energy follows thought, and thought magnifies and intensifies energy. So you've really got to be careful what you think about. And because it can really, really influence things. So get the positive thinking going and imagining and expect better behavior from your dogs. You'll be amazed sometimes just by changing your attitude. It starts to make a difference for them. With the telepathic and empathetic communication, it's very important to understand that there is no issue with distance. You can be in the same room with your dog and you can communicate on this level. The dog can be outside, you can be inside, you can communicate this way. Dog could be at the boarding kennel and you're off on vacation. When you think or speak about your dog, they sense it immediately. So this can really mess up the detail when we worry about our dogs when we aren't with them. I have actually had to intervene in situations where the owner was separated from their dog, but was so worried about what's going on that they were actually helping their dog die. Okay. And perhaps it's worth telling you that story. So I think that we better hold that. And that's where we'll pick up and continue in the next hour. So we will switch gears at this point, and we are going to get ready to get on the love train one more time today. And so you know, once we do that, we will come back and continue with this line of all the communication stuff. I will explain to you about there being no issue with distance with the communication. I'll explain to you what I was just talking about, how you want to help your animals through situations effectively rather than making situations worse for them, and also how to send mental postcards. Do you have a problem with your animals that get upset when you leave or something like that, and that's caused a problem in the past? Well, this is how you solve those things. So all of that's coming up next. Right now, though, we are going to get ready to get on the love train. And remember, this is the exercise portion of the show. This is getting us up and moving, getting the energy flowing, helping a few of those pounds come off that we've all gained. And it is required. Dancing is required, because you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere. You can get up and join us on the love train. I'll cruise through and pick you up. And as we're doing the love train, we're spreading the love and the light all over the planet. And when we talk about during the song that we're sending it places, make sure you include Ukraine and Russia and Europe. And let's see, peace on earth and that light and love spreading everywhere. And I energize this love train up with our Ananda energization prayer, so that we'll be spiritualized up for the rest of this beautiful Easter Sunday and the rest of the week. And here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. Oh, eternal youth, the body and mind abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. So stay right where you are. More communicating with animals when we return straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.